Today's congenital host, the snake.
Thank you very much. Yesterday, we were alerted to something that was going on in one of the local rags, the Dallas Observer, that concerned one of our own, one Daniel Paul Ballas, who just happens to be our executive producer.
Balls?
Yes, Dan Balls.
I wish my last name was Balls.
Well, we can make
my
it
life
that.
Would be so much better.
Dan Balls also has a side project. It is a musical outfit known as the King Bucks, a popular country act that tours all across the Metroplex.
Keep in mind, probably, what, 80% covers?
Yes.
This is just a fun little band that me and some buddies got together for fun and profit.
Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly.
No one's trying to do anything ridiculous or saying we're great or nothing. We're just having a little fun.
Right.
Just like petty theft, right?
Right.
The woman who wrote this article in The Observer, her name is Sophia Dembling. And the categories of this are, falls under rants and raves. And the rant and rave is titled, On the King Bucks and the Importance of Really Connecting with an Audience. She says, take the King Bucks, for example. Nothing wrong with their music, and they have chops. They're good looking, and they have some fine, ironic facial hair, whatever that means.
It means that two of the guys in the band have big, giant mustaches.
Of which they're quite proud. And should be.
And they've had forever.
Yeah.
She goes on to say, but I don't like them, and I'll tell you why. Because they don't care about me.
Yep, you're right.
Not me personally, but me as a member of the audience. The couple of times I've seen the King Bucks, they played skillfully, but put out no sparks. Occasionally, one or the other muttered something unintelligible into the into the mic.
Drunk.
But mostly they didn't bother with patter. They seemed to be looking at something deep in their own heads rather than at the full house crowds that had shown up to commune with them. They didn't show us any love. Ergo, F them. I'm not interested. This is show business. Gimme a show. Put some energy into it. Send some energy out. Gimme some patters, some razzle-dazzle. Prove to me that you want it. Entertain me. Then she goes on to talk about all the other bands that she's seen in her what seems to be long lifetime.
Yeah, because she looks like Penny Marshall.
She talks about Sammy.
She does.
In Laverne and Shirley
Like at a Laker game.
Oh, no.
Yeah, things aren't going well for her.
She goes on to talk about how she saw Sammy Davis Jr. and Prince and Mick Jagger and Guided by Voices and all
Uncle
these people.
Cracker.
All these people that put on shows, what she says is shows.
Moist and flavorful brisket.
What?
I'm sorry, I got things mixed up.
Roasted poblano pepper.
Quit it.
She says, maybe some of them, and I'm assuming she's meaning you guys, maybe some of them don't know the importance of looking an audience in the eye.
Nope.
Literally and metaphorically, because their introduction to music was on TV or a computer. Where you can't feel the heat no matter how many smoldering looks bands give the camera. I'm old and crotchety and have high expectations. Then she goes on to talk about her family tree, which includes vaudevillians, movie stars, and musicians. Growing up in New York City, where she bought a $5 standing room ticket to any show on Broadway. She's seen lots, she tells you.
She's seen the Ramones at CBGB's.
Yes, her formative musical years were spent at CBGB's and Max's Kansas City, where punk was new and right in your face. And yes, she goes on to talk about the Ramones and bands called the Dead Boys. And she says, my strict personal rule is that I applaud any performer on stage, no matter how sucky. I applaud their willingness to take the risk of performing and believe applause is part of the contract between audience and performer. But a band that doesn't put on a show gets my yeah-whatever applause, a few feeble claps and out, the equivalent of a 5% tip. She says, if you want me to love you, baby, you gotta love me back.
Scissor me.
So she singles out you guys to go on this little rant.
Yeah, she uses us as the springboard to talk about how awesome her life in New York was in the 70s.
Yeah, because...
She was probably 40.
The point about you guys, you know, about using you guys as some sort of barometer for all this, that only takes up about a quarter of this article. Like you said, the rest of it just involves how great her musical life has been and all the bands she's seen.
Mm-hmm.
And
her family has a history in vaudeville.
I take great offense to this because, you know, I haven't seen you guys a ton, but I have seen you a handful of times. And, man, it seems to me that you guys put out as much or more as anybody out there, especially
Chad. Of course.
Who to me is the ultimate.
I didn't get involved in the comment war on this like others did. There's no need for that because it's
pointless. It's a quarter of a 1%.
Yeah. But I did post this article on my Facebook and I thought it was really funny because anybody that's seen us, look, you can say what you want about me. Yes, I watch TV when I'm singing songs. I don't look at the audience.
Watch Maverick and Rain.
I do. I don't give a damn. I don't care. I'm up there to sing, and I'm not up there to do leg kicks and throw blood into the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know what she wants. I'm there to
sing the songs to the best of my ability and collect the check at the end of the night, and hopefully you had a good time. If not, then suck it. I don't care. But Chad, that dude is the best front man in Dallas.
As far as
being engaging, entertaining.
Funny.
Hilarious.
I mean, he brings it.
He does bring it.
And for her to call,
I mean, I don't care. Say what you want about me, but don't throw him into that lot. And for doing that, what's her name?
Rhoda Morgenstein. I'm not sure.
Sophia Dimbling.
Sophia Dimbling, you're an effing bitch. And that's about all I have to say about this.
Because Chad is one of these guys that he starts out the night and he may have had a drink or two.
Or 11.
But as the night progresses, you know, he gets funnier and funnier, and he starts telling funnier stories, and he may break out a song like Berea, which we've
introducing the band.
Yeah.
The jokes that go along with that.
To me, like you said, if there's a better guy out there in Dallas that interacts with the crowd, that is more of a crowd pleaser, I'd like to know, because, to be honest with you, this is what music is today, for better or for worse. It's guys up there, unless you got a codpiece firing blood out there, you're just playing music, man.
Right.
And you may be into it, and you may be only into what's right in front of you, or you may only be into what your bandmates are doing at one point or another, but it is what it is. And just because, you know, you're not... I'm trying to think of a band, you know...
Gore.
Yeah, whatever. With bits.
Yeah.
You know, she talks about the Ramones. Yeah.
About La Freak, they've got bits.
I'm sorry, the Ramones.
Weird Al Yankovic.
I thought the Ramones were about as straight up players as there were back in the day.
Yeah, but they were revolutionary and everything.
But I don't know. You know, does she want David Bowie? Does she want every show to be
know.
Like,
that's
like
what
the
I'm saying.
Wall?
That's what I'm saying. I'd love to know what she has in mind.
Do you need children singing to you? And do you need secondary bands along with the front band?
I mean, she wants fun
exactly
slingers on
clear,
stage.
You know? I mean, what does she want?
She wants Blackie Lawless in his codpiece.
It wasn't punk, and she mentions punk. Wasn't punk kind of revolting against all the everything else that was going on, the showmanship? Wasn't it getting down to the bare bones of music?
Yes.
Three chords and a lot of sweat and drugs and everything.
But there was a lot of showmanship that later wound its way into that, maybe unwittingly, but it turned into a big show.
Well, the thing is, if you go see a country band, I'm sorry, a country band is not supposed to jump around and, like Danny says, look like the Rockettes out there. It's a country band. You know what their bit is? They wear matching suits, and that's funny and ironic, and yes, mustaches are too.
And the bottom line is wherever she saw us, she probably didn't pay a cover to get in.
No.
So it's not like she got gypped.
No, there's no money
involved.
And
we are so used to being background music. It's basically a live jukebox for people to dance to. It's not a show that you go there to get meaning out of or to connect with the singer, because we're not even playing our own crap most of the time.
Yeah, at the heart of it all, you're a country cover band.
Yes.
I found this to be insane, to be honest with you. It's almost like she was searching for something to write about. And look.
If you don't like it, great.
We've been known to do segments for the sake of, because it's a radio show and we have 4 hours,
mm-hmm.
we'll pull something out of our ass, and maybe this was pulling something out of her ass, which I bet smells. But.
Yeah, it smells like old food.
But it was pointless. It was very, very pointless. And, and from my experiences with that band, wrong.
Man, if she wants vaudeville, is there any guy that could, like, be a circus ringmaster better than Chad?
No.
No,
and you know what? I mean, the fact that Chad does a comedy show.
I know.
Chad on the side puts his ass on the line and does comedy. To some people, it's considered comedy, at least. But Chad works at that.
In certain parts of the world.
Chad's
right?
really good at that. I mean, mm-hmm. he's part comedian almost.
He's an entertainer.
Yes.
Yes.
Sophia Dumbling.
Dumbling.
Yeah, dummy. Dumb woman.
Bet she's never heard that before.
Go back to New York, you Yankee.
I want Sophia to go back, and I want her to be a wallflower, and I want her to check out the show again and have a little bit better perspective on what's going on, and to see how much fun everybody else but her saggy jug ass is having. Because they are having fun. You know? And like Danny said, it's not rocket science out there. You're just out there to try to have a good time. That's it. That is it.
Sorry we didn't connect with you, Sophie.
Yes. So there you go,
that's
Sophia.
Funny.
That's fun.
That's
and
funny.
Good luck.
Good luck.
With your
saggy die. Ass bottom.
Die. Yeah, with your die. Saggy die. Ass bottom.
As always, I'm joined by Delicate Blossom. Dan Bayless.
It's good to see you.
You give me the cut sign?
No. Nope.
You have nothing to say?
I have absolutely nothing to say. Because, okay, I'll say one thing.
Okay. Because I have things to say if I'm allowed to say.
You can say whatever you want, but the way I look at it is a blog that five people read only gets sea legs when a station that 500,000 people listen to talk about it.
Right.
So, toil away in an anonymity, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm done with the whole lot of you.
Amen.
Well, I just wanted to... I was thinking about this last night, because yesterday I read Pete Friedman's piece...
Mm-hmm. What about it?
I keep on hearing feedback when TC opens his mic and says nothing.
Stop. That's what we were discussing.
Why Stop. Would you open your mic and say nothing?
Why would
Just
you
to
open,
make it feedback?
Why would you turn your mic on at all?
That's what the P1s want to know.
Just stop it, TC.
Davey's going to yell at you.
Put your hands under your legs.
Sit on your hands, TC.
Let me turn my mic on first.
Stop. They can't even hear that on the air.
I like, can't hear anything, so it doesn't matter. Anyway.
All right.
What are you saying?
So, Pete Friedman on the DC9 at Night blog over on DallasObserver.com kind of gave his official Observer response to this whole thing. If you don't know, a couple weeks ago, there was a freelance writer, I guess, who wrote a piece about the King Bucks, and it was quite controversial, and it created a ton of response.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into a whole other argument, I guess, because of when you were playing radio and made a over-the-top response to it on the Hardline.
Mm-hmm.
Then it turned into a feminist argument, and I guess the author of the piece was wondering when the Observer was going to stand up for her. So Pete finally wrote something yesterday and really didn't take sides necessarily, but it ended up being you know, if you're a band, here's how to take criticism, which is fine. I read the piece and he had some good points, but I don't think that what he wrote really applies in this situation, because what was written about the King Bucks by, and I'm not going to use her name, I'm just going to call her Sounding Desperate, since she likes to call you Delicate Blossom.
I'm embracing that nickname, by the way.
You are a delicate blossom.
Thank you.
So Sounding Desperate, in writing this piece, comes out guns blazing. It's not a musical criticism. You know, she disguises it as a think piece on audience engagement by musical artists.
You're talking about her original work?
Yes, the original work, going back to the original piece that ran. I don't even know if it ran in the physical paper. I think it was just online.
Just online.
So, you know, she's disguising this as a kind of dissertation on what fans should expect from musicians when seeing shows, when it's completely transparent. Because in the first 50 words, she says that two of the guys in the band have ironic facial hair, which is, you know, a slap in the face to a guy who, you know, wants to have a mustache.
And has for and 20 has, years.
And has for 20 years. It's a backhanded slap calling them a hipster and a poser. So, you know, okay, that's no big deal, you know. But then she basically says, F you. I mean, she uses the F word in the column. She basically points at you, the King Bucks, and says, F you. That is not a criticism. That is flamethrowing. That is internet flamethrowing. And I guarantee that when she conceived this piece, when she decided to write for The Observer and talk about this subject matter, I don't know how she conceived it, what came first, but I guarantee when she decided on her target, she knew very well that the King Bucks have a loyal local following, and you guys play every week, and a lot of people know who you are. And she also knew that one of the members is a high-profile radio personality on one of the most popular stations in the market. You can't tell me she didn't know that.
She admitted that her husband was a lifelong listener until last week.
Oh, yeah. So in one of her personal blog posts, she says that in response to Danny's critique of her, her husband, who was a lifelong P1, has renounced the station. I have news for you. When he's alone in the car, he is still listening to The Ticket. When he is not with you, he's still a P1. You may think otherwise.
Well,
but I just want to say about the original piece, Sounding Desperate, just because you can write does not make you a good writer. That steaming pile of excrement was not a good column. It was a self-serving, self-aggrandizing piece of garbage. It was the worst kind of writer is the writer that elevates themselves over the subject matter. That column was all about her. Go back and read it and look at how many first-person pronouns are in the stupid piece. Every sentence is I, me. I did this. My family did that. I've seen these shows. I know what to expect. You need to please me.
It came off as bitchy.
And maybe taking the Y off that word, don't do that. Don't do that, because then she's going to twist this around. I'm trying to have a civilized conversation and not bring any kind of sexist words and any kind of personal attacks. I'm trying to keep this on the level, so please don't play that crap, Dave. Maybe taking the Y off of bitchy does make it personal, and maybe that is sexist, and maybe all of your female writers in arms can all hold you up on their shoulders and make you feel good about yourself and get a bunch of traffic to your blog that no one ever reads.
Right.
But let me tell you, you are not a good writer. And I'm speaking from experience because I'm not a good writer either. It takes one to know one. And I can tell you that that piece of crap that you posted on The Observer, the original piece, it was totally transparent. It was obvious that you were trying to get a rise out of the fans of the band and the fans of the ticket and the band members themselves, and you succeeded. And now, you're like Gordon. She's just like Gordon Keith, who pokes and pokes and pokes, and then when the person, the subject who's being poked, finally turns around and says, "What the hell?" Then, just like Gordon, she's like, "Well, I didn't mean anything. I'm the victim here. Stop antagonizing me. I'm entitled to my opinion." It was totally transparent what you were doing. You got exactly what you wanted, and to pretend otherwise is disingenuous. So that's all I have to say to you, sounding desperate.
Well, two things in play here, and I'm friends with Pete Friedman. Irresponsible editing, in my opinion. I think he needs to own that. And yeah. I think I need to be quoted correctly, because I was quoted as calling this woman a fat, old, ugly bitch. Not true. I said my piece and my whole point, and I didn't even bring this up. I had no interest in bringing this up on the air because I didn't want to feed the flame anymore. I reposted the article on my Facebook page and said, "This is kind of funny," because she was ripping the band for not connecting with her and entertaining her enough to be included, or that we needed to earn her respect. And my whole point was, this is insulting to me because I'm trying to defend a friend of mine who is the band leader, who is one of the most affable showmen, frontmen in town. Or any more than anybody I've ever worked with before.
Right.
That was my only that was the only thing that I was saying. And for her to discredit that, to not even acknowledge him, and for her to come out guns blazing and then say, "Yeah, I saw him a couple times and then say F them, I called her an effing bitch. And you know what? Since then, I've apologized for it, because whatever. I love it. I don't know. That's a whole nother argument, that when, you know, women get mad that they act like a bitch and then you call them one, then it's like you dropped an N-bomb.
Right, and she equates it in her blog that, what if you had come on the air and called a black columnist an effing N?
You cannot relate the two.
No.
You can't. But whatever. It's not even worth moving forward. And like I said before, get the quote right. You know, Pete, you say, read the whole article when you're handing me your kid glove instructions on how to handle criticism. Let me tell you, dude, I know how to handle criticism. If she was criticizing me, that's fine. I don't care. I don't give a damn what she thinks about me. I was defending a friend of mine. That's all. Period.
Right.
And I called her out for it.
Right. And I think,
act like a bitch, you get called a bitch.
And I think anyone who has ever seen Chad, whether it's by himself or with the King Bucks or in his little comedy review, you know that he does not fit the description of a disengaged performer.
Yeah, it's not like it's Elliot Smith up there. The guy is the most affable dude in the business.
He's constantly cracking jokes.
My skin is plenty thick. If you'd have written that about me, I would have not said a word about it.
Right. It was the fact that she was attacking your band members.
Exactly. And she used that as a platform to further her agenda, which is exactly what you said. Because let me tell you something. If Corby doesn't bring that up and that's not talked about on the air, and if I don't post that on Facebook, and it's not like I've got a million friends, it's like maybe 1,000 people, and most of them are my friends and family. I don't have a bunch of P1s on there. I don't accept people that I don't know for the most part, unless you, you know.
Unless you're hot.
Yeah, of course. And I'm sorry if that's sexist. But that's what insulted me. That's what offended me, is the fact that she overlooked a very, very obvious element to this story just to further her agenda, to do what she set out to do, and that is to get attention, to drive, to start a fight, and then pour gasoline on the fire. And then when somebody's like, holy crap, there's a fire, it's like, oh, I didn't do it. I was just a little snarky.
Yeah, just a little snarky. No, your agenda was pointing the spotlight on yourself, and you succeeded, and you are a self-important, pompous hack writer.
I don't know you. I crossed the line by calling the woman what I did. I think that was probably insensitive. And I'm not going to sit here and say, well, that's what you get. It's a sports radio station. Oh, somebody on the ticket called a woman or was disrespectful to a woman. That's shocking. You know, I'm not going to hide behind that. I'll own it. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. But I didn't call her fat, old, and ugly. I did post a picture of her and I said she looked like Penny Marshall. Hey, to some dudes, Penny Marshall may be a nice piece. Call it what you want. But get the quote right, Pete. And do your job.
Anyway.
Edit.
I just wanted to get that off my chest. Not so much to defend your honor, just to let sounding desperate understand that at least one person completely sees through her and sees her for what she is, and that's a talentless hack. And I hope you never get published in The Observer again. It's 10:30 on the ticket.